a ride.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, all you magnificent melonheads of the world. Happy Friday, everybody. Man, that was a quick week, wasn't it? Today's September 26th, 2025. And it looks like tariffs are back on the menu, boys. That's what we're talking about today. After the bell yesterday, after market close, President Trump took to Truth Social. Is everybody kind of like, oh, what's he going to do today? It was tariffs. A lot of tariffs. Let's start with the big one, pharmaceuticals. He's threatening 100% tariffs on pharmaceutical companies that don't announce plans or don't start construction of factories in the United States. Again, details are always scarce here. We don't know, you know, the fine print and the loopholes. But if you don't at least announce a plan to build a factory to make your medicine in the United States, you're going to get 100% tariffs. Now, it's kind of interesting because who spends more money on pharmaceuticals than the federal government of the United States? All right, through Medicare, Medicaid, right? I mean, the biggest single buyer of pharmaceuticals in the world is the government. So I guess the government's going to be charging itself a 100% tariff. And in unrelated news, government revenues are now surging. Do you see what happens when the president spends time with Sam Altman and Jensen Huang? Now we've got the freaking federal government is round tripping their own revenue in order to make tax receipts look bigger. Don't you just freaking love this game? Oh, this is great. But no, really, that the government is the biggest buyer of drugs, so I don't know how that's going to work. But other things going on in these tariffs. And keep in mind, guys, these are Section 232 tariff investigations, which is like national security concerns. Bathroom vanities and upholstered furniture. The lingering, looming threat on the horizon to national security of bathroom vanities and couches. I mean, won't somebody please defend us from these floral pattern couches that are invading our country on all sides? I don't really get that. It's kind of interesting because a lot of the things he was targeting kind of affects home builders who are in a bad position here. It's all, did Bill Pulte say something to piss him off? And he's like, you know what? Tariffs on things your company buys? I don't know, but that's out there. Also, large trucks, that's going to disproportionately affect Mexico. And we have a separate announcement that's also related to tariffs this morning, a new one-for-one ratio requirement for semiconductors. Companies that make chips have to manufacture one chip in the United States for every chip manufactured overseas, or at least that's the idea that's being floated, according to people familiar with the matter who don't want to be identified, all that other stuff. The trade war, guys, that's still lingering in the background. That's still playing a big role in the economy. And we still don't know what the effect of the trade war is going to be on the economy. I think we're starting to begin to see it in some areas, put a pin in that. But one place we are not yet seeing it, at least not severely, is in PCE inflation. We got personal consumption expenditures came out this morning. That is the Fed's preferred measure of inflation. And it came in at 2.7% year over year, the headline number. That is slightly higher than the 2.6% we had last month. So, all right, headline inflation is rising, but it was in line with expectations. No big changes there. All the other numbers, the month over month and the core, they were all either up very slightly or flat and all in line with expectations. There was no surprise in this PCE inflation report. And so we're getting a little bit of a relief rally in stocks here. Stocks started to rally the second that data came out. It's not like it was good news, all right? I mean, the Fed hasn't hit their 2% inflation target since February of 2021. For those who are counting, that's 54 consecutive months of not hitting their arbitrary 2% target. But what's your hurry there? Don't worry, guys. It's transitory. It's just going to be transitory for a long freaking time. But markets are rallying on this news because they're more worried about the labor market here. A 2.7% PCE read is not going to derail plans for rate cuts, not when the labor market is the mess that it is. And so, you know, the market saw no surprises from inflation. That's going to change the path we're on. The buyers showed up for that. I don't know if it's going to last or not. Stocks have looked pretty bad for the last day or two, even though we're still hovering near all-time highs. The market is kind of yawning at this round-tripping scheme coming out of Silicon Valley. I think they're starting to catch wind of it, and I think people are starting to move their money accordingly. But for now, they're buying this morning. We got news on the TikTok front. The government finally settled a price for buying the U.S. TikTok operations from ByteDance, and it's $14 billion. They're just taking it, guys. I mean, $14 billion for TikTok. I mean, to you or I, $14 billion is a lot of money. But understand, like, I could announce a Fartcoin treasury company tomorrow and get a market cap of $14 billion. And we're talking about TikTok here, which has a very big customer base, and they do a lot of business there. So the U.S. is just taking it from the Chinese. And we're like, if you don't like it, we'll just ban you. So you're going to give us at whatever price we demand. That's pretty much what's happening. Sorry, Xi. Sorry, Poo. I know you liked your TikTok operations. I know you like to fill American youth heads with shit to, you know, poison the country from the inside, along with the fentanyl that you're flooding us with. Sorry to mess with your operations there. We also got Tricolor is back in the news this morning. The big subprime auto lender who went bankrupt. The company that took over servicing the loans for Tricolor, you know, the ones who are like trying to make sure the bondholders get something. They were kicked out of the office by investigators. Big mess at Tricolor. We have not heard the end of that story. And also, guys, the whole automotive space is a freaking mess here. It's quite possible Tricolor was just the first domino in a much bigger problem because, look, it always shows in subprime first, and then it works its way up. And, of course, Tricolor was as subprime as you get. They were loaning to people who don't even have freaking credit scores. They specialized in illegal immigrants. So they were the first to fall. And then earlier this week, we had the announcement of the First Brands bankruptcy. That's a big auto parts supplier. We talked about that one on the live stream Monday. And then yesterday, Bosch, the German auto parts maker, they announced 13,000 layoffs at their auto parts factories in Germany. I'm sure tariffs are playing a role there. I would be very surprised to learn the Tricolor bankruptcy isn't at least partially playing a role in these Bosch layoffs. But guys, the used car market is a freaking mess under the hood. You're talking about parts. You're talking about subprime financing for used cars. Something is majorly wrong in the auto market. You could see it in those CarMax earnings yesterday. CarMax dropped by 20% after those earnings. I don't know what it is, but the car market is a freaking mess. Keep your eye out for more layoffs, more plant closures, and more stories to that effect. We're also getting layoffs in Accenture. 11,000 people were laid off, and the company is warning that more are coming if they don't learn AI. All right, so you're going to get laid off from your temp job at Accenture, which is, by the way, a big outsourcing firm. I think most of these layoffs are probably taking place in India at call centers, which my moderator, Mish, has been saying since 2023. Call centers is going to be the first place where they look to cut because of AI. Another good call, Mish. But yeah, you know, learn how to generate work slop. Otherwise, you're going to get fired. That's what they're telling all these people who do outsourced jobs. And by the way, speaking of work slop, check out the video I did yesterday about that report from BetterUp and Stanford Social Media. I think anybody in the professional environment having AI tools shoved down their throat by upper management can probably identify with that video I put out yesterday about a phenomenon that is now so common they had to create a term for it. Low effort, negative value, worthless AI-generated work slop. Gotta love it. What else do we have going on this morning? Oh, the government, financial regulators are starting to crack down on crypto treasury companies, in particular, insider trading happening before the announcements. Keep an eye on that one, guys. We are very late stage halving cycle here, and Bitcoin is down big today. It's down a couple thousand from yesterday. There is a very, very good chance that the top is in from this cycle and something really bad is just around the corner in crypto. We got Costco earnings. They were good, but not great. But the comps are up. Costco is doing a lot of business here. People love good deals, but you know what's not a good deal? Costco stock. It's pretty expensive. And so the stock's actually down a little bit this morning on otherwise really good earnings. It's just overpriced. We got a new BRICS story. Where are my BRICS guys at? Let me know in the comments. I know you're out there. New Development Bank. That is the Chinese BRICS bank that was set up a few years ago. They announced that they're going to issue rupee-denominated bonds, the Indian currency. I believe that is an overture to Russia, who is sitting on a massive pile of rupees that they don't know what the hell to do with because they've been selling all that oil to India. India has been paying in rupees, and Russia doesn't buy anything from India. Well, maybe you generate a little bit of return with that pile of rupees by issuing some rupee-denominated bonds to whoever wants them. And guys, we Well, we got a lot to talk about. It's been a busy freaking week. A lot of news this week. Why don't we shrink my big melon of a head and let's see what is going on in the world of finance today. Don't forget that like button. And you new guys, hit that subscribe button so you can come back tomorrow and have your coffee with the melon heads, because we do this one every single day. And right now, the S&P 500 is up about 20 points. You can see big green candle there. That was the announcement of PCE inflation coming in roughly in line. The market liked that, but we are now back to your regularly scheduled selling, it appears, giving back about half of those gains since the announcement. The Dow is up 221 points, 0.5% higher, faring a little bit better than the S&P right now. Again, most of that move coming after PCE was announced. And the NASDAQ is up about a quarter of a percent or 57 points higher, also giving back its gains post-PCE. Looking at the DXY, we have got a weaker dollar this morning at 98.28. That's down by about 18 basis points. That is the market telling us Fed rate cuts are still there, probably going to be a little bit more likely than before that PCE. Market is relieved that inflation didn't come in too high, causing people to rethink their expectations for rate cuts. Looking over at the bond market this morning, we've got yields are lower after a pretty sizable move higher yesterday. Right now, the 30 years at 4.743, that's up one basis point. The 10 years at 4.169, up a half a point. I'm sorry, both down. I got my dyslexia thing going this morning. The 10-year is down a half a point. The 30-year down 1 point. The 2-year also down 1 point and change at 3.651. And the 1 month is up. It is green, 4.138, higher by almost 3 basis points. Looking over at the commodities board, I tell you, metals were quiet right up until a minute ago, and it looks like gold and silver really liked that in line with expectations PCE report. Again, probably more likelihood of rate cuts now, and rate cuts are good for gold and silver prices. So they are now reacting accordingly, even though they were red right before it came out. We've got spot gold, $3,765. That's higher by about 16 bucks or 0.43% higher. Spot silver is higher by another 40 cents here, $45.58 for spot silver, higher by about 0.9% this morning. That front month silver contract is at $45.90. Are we going to see $46 today? Holy shnikes, December silver futures at $45.92 now, up 1.7%. I like the shiny. Copper, meanwhile, is down by about a third of 1%. Platinum is up another 2.8%. Big move in platinum yesterday. Once again, shout out to Bob Coleman. Another good call there in platinum, 1572.85. I tell you, if platinum is dependent on the car parts market for its success, somebody forgot to tell freaking platinum, because the car market is a mess and platinum just doesn't seem to care here. Palladium is also higher by 1.6%. Crude oil higher by 0.6% at $65.39 for November WTI futures. We got a lot of green in the commodity space this morning. One place there is very little green to be seen this morning is Bitcoin, though, $109,140. Now, it's saying it's up 100 bucks here on Coinbase. We're down about another $2,000 from where we were this time yesterday. We dipped below 109,000 overnight. Bitcoin's not looking good here. Ethereum is also selling off, guys. Again, we're very late here. I mean, it's Friday. We are now 75 weeks post-halving. The last two crashes in Bitcoin happened at 75 and 77 weeks after the halving. So if there's going to be another all-time high, you're just about out of time for seeing that. Also going on this morning, U.S. regulators probe stock moves before companies made crypto treasury announcements, according to the Wall Street Journal. U.S. regulators have examined sharp movements in the stock prices of companies before they announced plans to raise money to buy cryptocurrency for signs of potential insider trading and disclosure violations, the Wall Street Journal reported on Thursday. The SEC and FINRA have contacted some of more than 200 companies that announced crypto treasury strategies this year, the report added, citing people familiar with the matter. Holy shit. I was blown away. I knew this was prevalent. I knew a lot of companies were doing this, but more than 200 companies that announced crypto treasury strategies this year? Oh my God. Guys, if you think it's not a bubble, you're crazy. Why are they doing this? Because they know just the act of announcing you're borrowing money to become a crypto treasury company will rally your stock 1,000%. So tell your buddies so they can buy stock before you make the announcement, and then we all become rich. Oh, that's right. That's a crime. And remember, guys, fraud marks the top. Be very careful in crypto, guys. Be very careful on leverage. A lot of people are getting liquidated this week. All right, now on to the main story this morning. Trump plans new tariff push with 100% rate on patented drugs. All right, so we're doing everything in our power to lower the cost of medicine by raising the cost of medicine by 100%. President Trump announced a fresh round of tariffs on pharmaceuticals, heavy trucks, and furniture, including a 100% duty on patented drugs, unless the producer is building a manufacturing plant in the United States. Starting October 1st, that's next week, we will be imposing a 100% tariff on any branded or patented pharmaceutical product unless a company is building their pharmaceutical manufacturing plant in America, Trump posted on social media Thursday. Without offering specifics on which producers will be impacted, there will therefore be no tariff on these pharmaceutical products if construction has started. Somebody grab a shovel and go dig a hole in the backyard and tell us there's a factory going to be there so we don't get a 100% tariff within a week. Let's see. We got some other things going on here. Here we go. Trump is imposing product-based levies using Section 232 of the Trade Expansion Act, which allows the administration to impose tariffs without congressional action if imports are deemed a national security threat. I can tell you the fact that we get most of our medicine from the Chinese is a national security threat. That is the I mean, I know most of these pharma companies are in Ireland, but the manufacturing is done in China. That is a major weakness for this country. If the Chinese cut us off for medicine, we're hosed. The approach has already been used to impose levies on automobiles, copper, steel, and aluminum imports. Other duties on critical imports, including semiconductors and critical minerals, are expected in the coming weeks. His government has also launched an investigation into imports of robotics, industrial machinery, and medical devices that could have wide-ranging effects for domestic manufacturers. And we got this one from the Kobayashi letter yesterday on X, and he announced, I mean, within a span of 1 hour, this is all the tariffs that were announced. 100% on pharmaceuticals, 50% tariff on kitchen cabinets, you know, for national security, 50% tariff on bathroom vanities and associated products, 30% tariffs on upholstered furniture. Those lazy boys are invading America. 25% tariff on heavy trucks. And he says he would cut interest rates down to 2%. So a lot of new tariffs were all announced. I mean, he was like rapid fire spitting out tariffs yesterday. I don't know what happened to set this off, but there it is. And then this morning, we got this one. Trump takes aim at chip makers with new plan to throttle imports. The administration wants domestic manufacturing to match imports and would impose tariffs on those companies that don't step up production. The Trump administration is weighing a new plan to reduce dramatically the U.S.'s reliance on semiconductors made overseas, hoping to spur domestic manufacturing and reshape global supply chains. The policy's goal is to have chip companies manufacture the same number of semiconductors in the U.S. as their customers import from overseas producers. Companies that don't maintain a one-to-one ratio over time would have to pay a tariff, according to people familiar with the concept. Again, this has not been publicly announced. This is anonymously sourced. Take it with a grain of salt. The plan is the result of what President Trump referred to last month when he said tech companies that invest more in the U.S. would avoid roughly 100% tariffs on semiconductors, the people said. Matching capacity of domestic chips with imports is a taller order than simply increasing domestic investments, because overseas products are often cheaper, supply chains are difficult to tweak, and increasing U.S. supply takes time. If implemented, the plan could further complicate an already convoluted tariff system. That is the understatement of the year, a already convoluted tariff system. Look, guys, I don't know what this looks like long term, but I can tell you the pain from tariffs gets here before the benefits. So get ready. Everybody's going to act surprised when either job losses happen or prices go up. One of the two things is going to happen, but that will get here before these new factories. That's just how this thing works. Don't be surprised when it happens. Meanwhile, TikTok's $14 billion price tag in Trump deal stuns investors. I mean, we're not buying it, guys. We're pretty much just taking it. The $14 billion price tag proposed for TikTok's U.S. business values it more like a traditional energy or food company than a global social media powerhouse, and may present a bargain for potential buyers, including Larry Ellison's Oracle and partner Silver Lake Management. The rough estimate cited by Vice President J.D. Vance on Thursday is well below previous projections that scaled closer to $40 billion. Vance's comments came as President Trump pushed forward a plan for American investors to buy the U.S. operation from Chinese investment firm ByteDance. All right, so this is just a thing J.D. Vance said. He said 14. Maybe he misspoke and meant to say 40. They sound the same. Entirely possible here. Or maybe the government just has a gun to TikTok's head and said, you're going to take $14 billion or we're going to shut you down and your business will be worth nothing. Either way, wow. Wow on that price tag. Meanwhile, Tricolor's new loan service team is locked out of the building. We have not heard the last of this story, guys. There is something seriously up at this company here. Inside the sleek glass and stone headquarters of Tricolor Holdings, the remains of an auto lending juggernaut plunged suddenly into bankruptcy were visible everywhere. In one corner of the fourth floor office, there were scores of license plates piled high. In another, there were stacks of car titles. The employees were all gone now, fired en masse when the firm went under, and the loan collection system was down. That was September 16th, 1 week after the bombshell fraud allegations that sealed the company's fate. And a small team of crisis managers from Vervin Inc., who rushed to Dallas to restart the loan system, was getting its first look at the damage. It's as if a tornado came through here, said Derek Gamble, no relation, Vervin's chief compliance officer, who would later tell a bankruptcy judge, and we've got to rebuild that infrastructure brick by brick. Then just hours after the team arrived and began inventorying the license plates and titles, things got worse. Investigators were arriving, they were told, and they needed to vacate the building at the end of the day and stay away until informed they could return, according to a person knowledgeable with the situation who asked not to be identified. Do I have anything else? Nope, that's the whole story. I mean, look, guys, the people who are bought in, this is the new servicing team, this Vervin. They're the ones who are making sure people are still paying the bills and the bondholders are still getting paid. These bonds issued by Tricolor are trading at like 12 cents on the dollar. The last I heard, they're worthless. And look, this is a confluence of things. You've got ESG mandates, these Tricolor ABS. They were called social bonds. Oh, because we're lending to underserved communities, illegal immigrants. Okay. And then you combine that stupidity with a sudden surge of deportations. And as it turns out, when you deport someone, they stop paying their car. That's still in America. Big surprise there. So, you know, you take this like bipolar policy of immigration and you end up, sprinkle a little fraud on top, you end up with Tricolor. That's what you end up with. And now the auto market is a mess. I don't know if Tricolor is the cause or the symptom, but it's spilling over. We had that First Brands bankruptcy earlier this week. Now we've got Bosch to cut 13,000 jobs to bring down costs in a tough autos market. Take that bipolar immigration policy. You take that little bit of fraud. Let's also throw tariffs on top of that. Now you got tens of thousands of job cuts in Germany. Germany's Robert Bosch will cut 13,000 jobs as the world's top auto supplier battles a sluggish market, high costs, and pressure from rivals that have left it with an annual cost gap of 2.5 billion euros. It's about 2.9 billion US. The company has previously said it expects to fight over every cent in a cutthroat market as demand remains weak and trade barriers exacerbate an already challenging economic environment. Trade barriers means the tariffs, the trade war. It will cut jobs at various German locations on various timelines until the end of 2030, it said. Significant overcapacity have existed for some time in administration and sales and in development and production due to the drop in demand. Drop in demand for parts. Bosch, by the way, supplies a lot of parts to Nissan, who is closing factories all over the world, possibly related there. So, guys, the auto market, it's a mess. There's a lot going on there. I may have a video about this subject in the near future. Meanwhile, Accenture is also laying people off. 11,000 jobs lost to AI. More cuts are coming soon. Here's what the company said. The IT consulting firm has outlaid $865 million in restructuring as it expected slower growth for the year thanks to sluggish corporate demand owing to federal spending clampdown. Accenture has laid off over 11,000 employees. This has already happened, by the way. They laid off 11,000 across its global workforce. I'm sure most of that was in India, the tech giant said on Thursday as it released its quarterly results, adding that it expects more layoffs in the coming months. Over the last 3 months, over 11,000 Accenture employees have lost their jobs to AI amid the company's push. The IT consulting firm has outlaid an $865 million restructuring program as it expected slower growth for the year thanks to sluggish corporate demand owing to federal spending clampdown. All right, so look, guys, we did that video on Work Slop yesterday. We know corporate America is doing this, right? I'm just curious, show of hands, show of comments, who out there, anybody, has ever had an experience with an AI call center or an AI chat feature and not ended up with your ticket being forwarded to a human representative? Has anybody ever had their problem solved by the AI? I'm just curious. I have several times tried to reach out to some company's support or help function for various things. I always get a chatbot. I waste an hour and I end up on the phone waiting on hold with somebody anyway. It's just an added layer of bureaucracy that costs money and adds no value. Maybe that's just me. Has anybody ever had their problem solved by a chatbot? Or are we just like, let's just go ahead and lay off all the call centers. Let's let our customer service go to shit and then act surprised when people no longer want to use our product or service because we put them in touch with a large language model that tells them to glue their pizza together when they have a problem. Maybe that's just me. I don't know. Also, we got Costco earnings came out yesterday. They topped the forecast. U.S. sales rose 6% as consumers weigh the value push and tariff pressures. This was actually pretty good numbers from Costco. They weren't great, but they were good. Costco reported fourth quarter earnings after market close on Thursday that slightly beat Wall Street expectations as it navigated a choppy consumer landscape, tariff-related pressure, and competition from peers like Walmart and Sam's Club. For the quarter, revenue at the wholesale giant clocked in at $86.16 billion compared to expectations of $86.03, with adjusted EPS at $5.80 a share, higher than forecast at $5.82, so it's a beat on the top and the bottom. Same-store sales grew 6.4%, slightly better than the 6.2% growth expected. This was a beat by most metrics here. And I'll tell you, 6.4% same-store sales growth. Guys, we cover a lot of earnings on retail and restaurants and hotels and things. I haven't seen 6.4% growth from anybody. This is pretty good. Costco is clearly seeing the benefits of inflation driving more people to try to save money by doing their shopping in Costco and buying wholesale. The problem is, as people look for deals, Costco stock is not a deal. The stock is actually down 3% here, $913 on this news. Costco stock is now just barely positive for the year. It may actually be negative for the year. But look, here's the thing. Even though their business is booming, look at that PE ratio, 51.8 times earnings it's trading at. And I looked at the PEG ratio. It's over 5, price to earnings to growth. Costco is an expensive stock. All right, so you can get cheap stuff at the store, and the business is doing great, but all of that is already priced in and then some, and that's why the stock is selling off on what is otherwise excellent news for Costco. Another one this morning, this is pretty interesting. BRICS-backed bank, this is New Direction Bank. BRICS-backed bank did I butcher this title or what? Let's rewind this and start it over. Exclusive. BRICS-backed bank plans first Indian rupee-denominated bond by end of March, sources say. Nailed it. All right, finally, got it on the second try. The BRICS countries-backed New Development Bank plans to issue its first Indian rupee-denominated bond in the domestic market before the end of March 2026, three sources familiar with the matter said. New Direction Bank, that's the Chinese BRICS bank, which has previously raised funds in Chinese yuan and South African rand, is in advanced stages of discussions with the Indian Central Bank for its debut rupee issuance. It will look to raise between 400 and 500 million through 3 and 5 year bonds in the first tranche, one of the sources said. And I can't help but think this is an overture to the Russians, because we've talked about this a lot. This story was very big a few years ago. The Russians have been selling their oil to the Indians, and the Indians have been paying in rupees. And the Russians don't buy much from the Indians, which means the Russians are sitting on a huge pile of rupees that's growing every day. The only way the Russians can use the rupees would be to sell them in the Forex market for their own ruble or for something else. Of course, they're locked out of much of the Forex market by the SWIFT sanctions. But the other reason is if they sell that many rupees, they're going to crash the rupee and they'd be lighting their own money on fire. So the Russians are kind of stuck in rupees here. And I suspect what New Development Bank is doing here is trying to create an outlet for that by giving the Russians a place to lend those rupees to other countries, maybe Indian companies, and try to generate some yield while they're sitting on that big imbalance. This is all a step towards de-dollarization. But again, de-dollarization sounds better or sounds easier than it really is. It's very hard to just create your own reserve currency. It's really hard to pull that off. There was also a story, I had to cut it for time, but there's also a story that the Chinese are expanding their repo market, their bond repurchase market. You can see the Chinese are trying to build the infrastructure to rival the dollar. They're still a long way from doing it, but the effort is there. Pay attention, guys. And again, world reserve currency typically doesn't change without some kind of global bloody conflict. It's just another reason why you can see the world steaming towards war here. We also got some data in today. We won't spend too much time on this, but the PCE price index, there's the August number, 2.7% year over year, up slightly from the 2.6% we had in June and July, and the highest we've seen since February. So inflation did move up a little bit, but the market was expecting it. And I would just point out here, guys, that the last time PCE inflation was below the Fed's 2% target was February of 2021. All right, that is, I wrote it down, 54 consecutive months above the Fed's 2% target. But don't worry, guys, it's short term. It's transitory. It's just going to be transitory for a while, for a long while. It's going to be like, it's going to be temporary forever. Also announced as part of PCE, we got personal income. All right, this is how much money we're making. That rose by 0.4%. I believe that was month over month. Yes, that was the monthly number. We got a 0.4% rise in personal income in line with the rise that we saw last month. But here's the interesting thing. Personal spending rose 0.6% last month. So yeah, we're getting a raise, but we're still spending even more than our raise, which means we're going further and further into debt. And remember, we had that GDP number came out yesterday morning. I was scratching my head saying it doesn't make sense. Where's all this consumption coming from? I speculated that maybe it was debt. Well, there you can see it. Personal spending is rising faster than personal incomes, which means we are going further and further into debt. And last but not least, I want to spend a little bit of time on this on every show, guys. The alternative asset warning, the private equity and private credit crap that they are trying to dump in your 401k. And now they're using it for data centers. You want to know where they're going to get the trillions of dollars Sam Altman wants to build data centers? They're going to get it from you. That's where they're going to get it. Ares aims to raise $8 billion to back AI-fueled data center boom. So we've got the AI mania combined with the private equity and the private credit bubble. Oh, what's not to love in this story? Ares management has set fundraising targets for data center investments, positioning itself to capture a share of the millions of dollars, it should be said hundreds of billions, in new fees flowing into the booming sector. The Los Angeles-based firm is aiming for more than $8 billion of equity fundraising to back data centers in the near term across London, Japan, and Brazil, it told investors in a presentation on Friday. The investor presentation highlights two asset classes that Ares and other investment firms have identified as key growth: data centers and retail investors. Huh. Gee, you think maybe they're banking on using dumb money to try to fund their data center build out. Asset managers and banks are rushing to lend to the industry as the rise of artificial intelligence has spurred the quick fire build out of infrastructure needed to fuel such technology. You've got an army of cab drivers looking to buy stocks, and you've got a huge AI bubble that's looking to round trip revenue. Let's get these two things together. And that's what Ares is trying to do here. They're trying to take advantage of this retail enthusiasm to raise dog shit debt to fund data center build outs, and then park that crap in your retirement. Ares expects the market for secondaries, generally discounted sales of secondhand private market funds, including credit, private equity, and infrastructure, will potentially more than double in the next 5 years as liquidity challenge move drive more investors to seek exit. Now, this is a whole separate issue, this issue of secondaries or continuation vehicles. All right, this is the shell game that private equity is playing. They can't sell their holdings, their company holdings, because they're not worth what they say they're worth. So instead of selling them, they're creating new funds and putting the holdings from the old funds in the new funds and then using the money from the new funds to pay back the investors from the old funds. And if that sounds like a Ponzi scheme, that's only because that's a Ponzi scheme. And they expect it to grow. Oh, yes, we're very excited about the growth in Ponzi schemes. Ares said it's seeing substantial demand from general partners or fund managers looking to roll private stakes into new funds because they can't sell them. The firm has bought $7 billion worth of such deals known as continuation vehicles tied to private equity assets so far. And by the way, those continuation vehicles, that's not the only thing they're doing. They're actually doing continuation vehicles of continuation vehicles, a C squared. Remember the sushi restaurant in The Big Short? It's a CDO of a CDO. It's a synthetic CDO. That's what they're doing with continuation vehicles now. And remember, guys, they're all looking at your 401k and your IRA with a twinkle in their eye. Know what you're holding. Read your prospectus. Don't let them do it to you, because they're trying to do it to everybody. And I just want to say thank you very much for T.A. Chapman. Thank you so much, T.A. Chapman, for the generosity, for supporting the channel. He says, hit like and happy Friday, Jack. Have you seen anything on the government shutdown and the potential of mass layoffs next week? We did talk about that briefly yesterday, T.A. Chapman. Yes, we have. Look, the Republicans canceled their meetings with Democrats. President Trump said there's no point in meeting with Democrats, and they all went on recess. So Republicans pretty much said, hey, you guys want a shutdown? You can have it. No problem. Don't threaten me with a good time. So that's what they're doing. The shutdown, very likely going to happen here. The difference this time around, the mass layoffs, you're right to call that out. Typically with prior government shutdowns, people get furloughed. They don't get paid for a few weeks. But then when the government shutdown is over, when they raise the debt ceiling or when they pass the funding bill, certainly not a budget, they give them back pay with interest, which means the shutdown just actually costs more money than it saved. It didn't actually save any money. But this time, they're actually talking about laying the people off, about canceling these programs, not just temporarily pausing them. That is different this time. People are going to lose jobs. And keep in mind, guys, that you know the employment situation sucks right now. The job market is frozen like the real estate market. And that's why they're calling it job hugging. People are like clinging to their jobs because they know if they lose it, they're not going to be able to find another one. So T.A. Chapman, it looks like that shutdown is going to happen. It's freaking stupid. They're shutting down the government over Affordable Care Act subsidies that were implemented as part of the COVID stimulus. So they're shutting the government down because they want more freaking COVID stimulus. Gag me with that noise. Are we even like, what are we doing here? Oh my God, the government's so off. They're so off. Guys, just buy gold. Just on gold. I like the shiny. I mean, at the end of the day, the more you're shaking your head, if your neck hurts from shaking it so much at the way they're managing monetary and fiscal policy, that's probably a good indicator that you should probably be buying gold and maybe a little bit of Tylenol, assuming you're not pregnant. Sorry, Tylenol. That's the hill we're going to die on today. Yep. Oh, I got it. Let's just move on, shall we? Thank you, T.A. Chapman, for supporting the channel. Gotta love it. Nacho Man, Randy Savage, thank you, sir, for supporting the channel. He says, keep up the great community, Jack. Have a stellar weekend to all you melon heads. Appreciate the good vibes and the support of the channel, Nacho Man. Ooh, yeah. Thank you, brother. Appreciate that very much. I have the best community here on this channel. You guys are awesome. Shout out to all my friends in the chat who show up morning after morning wondering whatever color will my coffee cup be today. And thank you also to Raiden 57, the God of Thunder, says, how big is Tricolor in this space? Tricolor listed liabilities of between $1 and $10 billion, I believe was the number on their bankruptcy. They don't give you an exact number. They give you a range. Tricolor is big. And the big worry here with Tricolor is the contagion risk. All right, we're already seeing issues in auto parts and things like that. But now it's about who does Tricolor owe money to? And we know Tricolor's bankruptcy has already caused hundreds of millions of dollars of losses in banks because of the fraud. They took out these warehouse loans, which is like temporary cash to go ahead and make loans to cars. And then those loans sit in a metaphorical warehouse while they're packaged up into bonds and then sold to investors, probably pension funds. And it looks like what Tricolor did was they used the same pool of loans for collateral to take out warehouse loans from several different banks at the same time. And that is absolutely fraud. Apparently, that is commonplace in the auto ABS market, which means there are other institutions out there doing the same thing. They just haven't failed because they're not doing something crazy like loaning to people without freaking credit scores. So Tricolor was the first to fail. I don't think they'll be the last. And we got to worry about what banks are going to take losses. We know Fifth Third. We know JP Morgan. There was another one. Barclays was another one. And FC Nightingale laid out a couple of other ones. There's also other banks with knock-on effects. You got to worry about who owes money, who Tricolor owed money to, and then who do they owe money to, and then who do they owe money to. So it's going to be big. It's the biggest bankruptcy in subprime auto since 2009, since Cash for Clunkers was rolled out. Keep an eye on names like Carvana, like CarMax, who was down big yesterday, and Ally Financial. Ally Financial is the biggest player in the auto funding. That's basically the bank that is the former financing arm of GM, and they were spun off after the bailouts and the last time the auto market went to hell. Ally Financial is the biggest player in auto finance, and this just can't be good for them. All right, I don't know that they were like so far out on the risk curve as Tricolor, but it starts in subprime. Does it stay in subprime? I don't know. With the job market being what it is, probably not. Thank you, Raiden, for supporting the channel, sir. Charles G, what's going on, Chuck? He says, so apparently the Department of War, Pete Hegseth, called in all the generals and admirals yesterday for an emergency meeting. World War III, question mark? Maybe they're getting rid of the dental plan and they're just giving them a keg of beer to make them not care about it, right? You guys can have a keg of beer, but we're getting rid of the dental plan. So long, dental plan. Who remembers that one? Yeah, I did see that story. There's a lot of speculation on what's going on there. I don't know what it is. When they call hundreds of generals and admirals together, that's kind of worrying. Is it going to be some big policy direction change? Are they saying we're getting rid of all the DEI mandates? Like we're no longer going to do videos featuring officers in puppy dog sex torture masks? Maybe that's what they're doing with the military. Maybe this is about Hegseth's pledge to get rid of the brass. I mean, he said that we have too much brass. We've got too many generals and admirals. We don't need that many. Maybe he's just going to like call people's names and fire them. Maybe this has something to do with the Russian incursions into NATO airspace in Europe. Maybe this has to do with the prospect of conflict in the South China Sea. A lot of maybes. Nobody knows until the meeting happens. But I did see that story that was getting a lot of attention yesterday. We just won't know until the meeting happens. Thank you very much, Charles G. That's just a couple of ideas. Who knows what it's actually going to look like? And I just want to say thank you, everybody, for having your coffee with the Melonheads this morning. Don't forget that like button and that subscribe button on the way out, guys. I thank you so much for the generosity and the super chats. Thanks for supporting the channel. You guys are awesome, as are you, my magnanimous Melonheads on Patreon and YouTube. We're getting together at 2 p.m. Eastern time today for our weekly get-together on Zoom. Links down below should you feel so inclined. Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad. Love you guys. Till next time, live small and dream big.